Judge John Robert Blakey, hearing November 14th, Thursday, 2/25/2016. Injunction.
Because
why? Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I'm a minute late. Fuck. Get me so stressed out. Hold on. Oh, Jesus. What is the fucking... Come on, calendar.
What do you want me to have?
Print the new one.
No, hold on. Look. Oh. That's your argument to Adam Simon, that the standards for preliminary injunctions do not apply to unjunct. That's your answer to Adam Simon right there.
When he says what?
That you didn't meet preliminary injunction standards.
Okay.
You say this.
Strict one.
No, not Strickland.
Oh.
This.
Where's that from?
It tells you.
Oh, okay.
Just read it.
So you're going to hand me that one.
Well, if he brings that up. But otherwise, you stay here.
Okay.
It's this.
Okay.
Read it. The standards for preliminary injunctions do not apply.
Your conference will begin momentarily. Please continue to hold.
It's a different standard. That actually tells you what the standard is right there. That's the standard. As long as you meet one factor. One factor is necessary in aid of its jurisdiction. And that's what this is all about. His jurisdiction. So that's your standard. As long as you meet one exception, which you have.
Which one?
whether the injunction qualifies for the exceptions to preserve the federal court's jurisdiction necessary in aid of its own jurisdiction.
Okay.
And you've met it.
Okay.
And you've met it. So you're under the this standard,
right,
for injunctions, and you've met it. If he goes there.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want to put a new one.
Okay, is that in here?
No, because you had that other thing up front.
Okay, let me make my changes.
Your conference will begin momentarily. Please continue to hold.
Okay.
Why do you need originals? Every document contradicts the other one.
All right. What?
That's your whole thing.
I'm going off this one, but okay.
All right.
Your conference will begin momentarily. Please continue to hold.
But you should have a copy of this to be flashing me things.
I'm
ready. Okay.
There are two participants on the call, including you. You are now being joined to your conference. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
Philip says no.
13C3643 Bernstein versus Union Life Insurance Company.
Adam Simon on behalf of plaintiff. Morning, Your Honor. Kevin Horan on behalf of the estate of Simon Bernstein. Sorry.
Elliot Bernstein, pro se.
How are you?
Good.
We're here on an emergency motion. Couple of things, just as housekeeping matters at the outset. There is a local rule regarding page limitations, and I've already talked to you before, sir, about that. And you need to comply with those local rules. Everyone needs to comply with the local rules. Nobody's above the law, certainly not in this courtroom. You need to comply with the local rules. Also, the notice was not sufficient. You've styled it as an emergency motion, which is why I let this sit on my call for today. But it's unfair to opposing counsel to notice something up with less than 24 hours notice. So, do you understand what I just said on both of those issues?
I do, Your Honor.
All right. Are you going to comply with my orders going forward, or am I going to have a problem with you?
Yes.
I am going to have a problem with you? Or you
no, gonna... no, I'm going to comply with your orders.
Okay, all right, good. All right, I'm glad that's behind us. Let's, from now on, you give appropriate notice, and you maintain your filings within the page limitation. And let me tell you this, just so you know, longer pages does not make your arguments more forceful, okay? They don't. If you either have it or you don't, and if you can't do it in the page limitation, then you need to seek leave to file an excess brief, and I grant that often. But you have to follow the rules, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's address the merits of it. Again, I saw the motion to strike. The parties want to be heard. Yeah, go ahead.
First, read your strike the motion. Violation of also violated.
Excuse me, I can't hear him.
Yeah, can you find a microphone, Captain? He's going to talk on the microphone. Let me know if you can't hear him.
Okay.
Your Honor, the first reason to strike this motion is because of his violation of the local rules. It's a 132-page motion, about this thick. Also, he violated your May 6th order, which reminded him of these local rules when he filed another emergency omnibus motion seeking essentially the same relief. In that same order, ordered Mr. Bernstein to limit his future motions to matters over which you actually have jurisdiction. This motion seeks you to intervene and stay proceedings. jurisdiction over a probate action. He was seeking to have you exercise jurisdiction over related claims under the Marshall decision, which says that if you do so, you shall not interfere with the probate court. The relief he seeks from you is to essentially disqualify the judge in Florida, take control of the case, reset discovery deadlines, enjoin the parties. Basically, he wants you to be the judge in Florida, and there's no case law or authority for you to exercise such jurisdiction. Instead, his case law actually prescribes such exercise of jurisdiction. Because of the notice, because of the repeated emergency motions that are not emergencies, I would ask that the motion be stricken, that the court require Mr. Bernstein to seek leave of court for any future pleadings, complaints, motions filed in the Northern District, that his phone privileges be suspended if there is to be any further hearings on this motion or any injunctive relief, and most of all, to strike the current motion. If you are going to entertain the motion, it is 150 pages, and I would like some time to file an opposition. There is no stated emergency. And one other very important point is that in his own motion, he admits that he's lost standing already in Florida. So the status quo of the, as of the date of the filing of his motion, is he has no standing in Florida. And that's the status quo that he seeks to maintain. So that goes to also the likelihood of prevailing in Florida. Absent standing, his likelihood of success on the merits is nil. Thank you.
You want to be heard, counsel? Your Honor, Kevin Horan on behalf of the estate, notwithstanding the page limitations and local rules, we agree with Mr. Simon in that we feel on behalf of the estate that this court doesn't have jurisdiction to grant the relief sought by Mr. Bernstein. More than that, I will not elaborate. Subject to this court's warning, the page limit or number of pages doesn't really improve one's argument, so I will keep my words brief. We believe that there's no jurisdiction. There's a violation of the page and line designation, and we ask that the motion be denied. If there is to be further briefing or further hearing on the motion, we would seek this court's leave to file opposition papers.
All right, sir, what do you need to tell me?
Your Honor, I'd first like to apologize, as I mistakenly noted in the memo of law to the court, that you were Honorable John G. Blakey instead of the Honorable John Robert Blakey, and I wish to correct that on the record.
That's okay.
And I've made a statement in response to the arguments filed by the Simons that I would like to present, which shows authority, even from the Florida Bar Resources, that make this case an exceptional case, authorizing this court to temporarily enjoin even Judge Phillips' court until the estate has a proper representative or through proceedings orchestrated by the same parties that forum shopped and piecemealed out documents in abusive discovery as a weapon to manipulate this court and the Florida court proceedings. This court clearly has subject matter jurisdiction under diversity and inherent powers over the parties who brought the case to the Illinois court in the first place to show cause before this court and be enjoined, and of course has power of me, you know, as well. So first, I note that I also made reference to a key document which shows exactly why this court must now act to preserve and protect all originals and evidence and documents herein from all parties, and why this court must now issue the injunction. The document comes from the Tesher and Spallina Bates production. I forgot to attach it as an exhibit, which is a copy of a tax document signed by an accountant.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit slower and a little bit clearer, okay?
Okay.
Because you're on the phone. You're doing fine. Just a little slower and a little clearer, okay?
Yes, sir. The document that I'm referencing comes from the Tesher and Spallina Bates production, but I...
I'm serious when I say slower and clearer.
Oh, okay.
Don't just keep going the same speed.
Talk slower and you enunciate.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're not going to have a good record over here, all right? Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, the document I'm referencing comes
much better
from the Tesher and Spallina Bates production, but I don't think I attached it as an exhibit, which is the document is a copy of a tax document signed by an accountant, Jerry Lewin, on related trust signed in 2007 which fundamentally contradict the magical trust that I provided you evidence of, that Alan Rose found in May of 2015, years after, you know, records were scoured for in this case and other things. And that document fundamentally contradicts sworn statements by attorney Stephen Lesney as well in the Oppenheimer case that we're asking you to look at, and further contradicts filed documents in the Florida court by Robert Spallina regarding the Stanford Trust, while further contradicting statements made by an attorney and accountant, Tracy Kradish, to the Palm Beach Sheriff on these trusts, which is exactly why orderly and complete discovery and preservation of originals and evidence must now be enjoined, as the piecemeal abusive discovery is part of a scheme to orchestrate and manipulate proceedings. Your Honor, you need all the originals and business records and evidence to show what the life insurance, for example, was, where it went, what the actual trusts are, what the policy, which still isn't produced, says, what the amounts are and stuff. There's this May 2015 email of Alan Rose, which I exhibited, shows exactly why he should be a witness in this case and is in the chain of custody of the originals, but more importantly shows that even as of May 2015, Alan Rose claims the true originals remain with Tesher and Spallina, who drafted them, yet the originals are never produced in discovery, like the ones for this case, never allowed for inspection, never produced at a so-called validity trial, where the estate was unrepresented at the validity trial, and by the testimony at the validity trial, Ted Bernstein, he's never seen the originals of trust he's operating on, under, of either the trust or the wills, and yet came to this court acting as trustee in a case where nobody knows who the trustee is yet, so it's hard to imagine how he knows when he claims he's never seen the trust documents that are the basis of this case. And where Spallina testifies at the so-called validity hearing that he doesn't know where the originals are, which may leave them with Donald Tesher, his partner, who wasn't produced at the validity hearing, and where Tesher and Spallina are both under current consent orders with the SEC, but likely still have the originals that neither the estate nor Ted has obtained, despite an order of Judge Colin in February 18, 2014, stating that all records had to be turned over to the new curator, as Tesher and Spallina were resigning because of the fraud they already committed in the Shirley estate that they admitted to, and admitted to Palm Beach County sheriffs, and just admitted new crimes in a December 15th validity hearing that still need to be investigated, where there's full-on admissions of mail fraud and other frauds. And thus, we have no idea right now where any originals are, while Ted and Alan Rose are moving more assets to fake companies at Lionhead Land Trust, Inc. And at 3:15 today, Judge Phillips wants to put the final nail in the orchestrated fraud by imposing guardians on my children so they can control them. And they're trying to gag me from talking to the guardian so my children will never get to obtain the true and real originals and assets. And even though Judge Colin ordered that all documents, which would include all originals, be turned over, the new PR, Brian O'Connell, has done nothing to obtain them, even though he knows he's only working on copies and the originals of wills and trusts that are relevant to your jurisdiction as well, because you need to see them to see if they had clauses about insurance, whatnot, are still not produced. He hasn't asked for them. That's why the estate's opposing this. He hasn't contacted the insurance companies like he said he would to get policy copies, reinsurers. I gave him all that. I don't really have the right to do this discovery in some sense because I'm not the personal representative or whatever. But because the estate had no representation at validity hearings, and current PR O'Connell has to be disqualified as in the chain of custody of documents and records, as shown in the petition, and because Ted has no originals to claim trustee on, and Alan Rose should be disqualified as a material fact witness, this
all is an exceptional case where Phillips can be enjoined until proper representatives are determined, according to the Florida Bar Resources themselves. And there's a case, Strickland versus Peter, cited at the Florida Bar 120 F period 2D 53, Fifth Circuit, 1941. And it states, where but on a showing in a court of equity that the estate is without a representative and in danger of being lost, and that petitioners are probably interested in it as heirs, they can ask protection for it until a proper representative is appointed and administration is begun in the probate court, a federal court of equity, there being diversity of citizenship and a sufficient amount involved, may thus protect the property if it is in danger of dissipation through a receivership or by injunction as may be necessary. Smith versus Jennings, Fifth Circuit, 238F 4854 56. And then, you know, you have to say right here, Your Honor, why? If there is no hidden monies and assets, why not simply turn everything over? Why commit fraud in the first place in the courts in Florida? Discovery's missing, documents missing, nobody's asking for them but me. You need them as well to determine your case and my counter-complaint. And Simon's business records are almost wholly missing, his business and personal records. Now personal property is missing and nobody knows where it is, even though it was re-inventoried where they told us it would be, and nothing was there. And we're missing one of the biggest assets of my father's estate is that I view it, my company, Technology Stocks and Records, which he was safekeeping after all that fraud and stuff began when the companies that I had were blown apart. He had literally storage unit full of documents that are all missing. All his mail's missing. Everything's missing. So if there's nothing hidden, why? Why not turn all the records over? Why are the missing originals? Why under court order aren't Spallina and Tesher turning over the originals? How do you have a validity hearing? When I ask, where are the originals? Nobody has them. Nobody knows where they are. Ted says he's never seen them, and he's acting as trustee under them, just like he is in this case, where he came to this federal court after Robert Spallina said he was the trustee of this trust that's missing here. And
they orchestrated the proceedings.
And they are the ones who orchestrated this proceeding, by the way. The requirements for a preliminary injunction don't apply to injunctions under the All Writs Act, because a court's traditional power to protect its jurisdiction, codified by the Act, is grounded in entirely separate concerns. 15. See also United States versus the New York Tel Company, 434, U.S. 159, 174, 1977, affirming grant of injunction under the All Writs Act without regard to traditional four factors. De Beers Council Mines LTD versus the United States, 325 U.S. 212, 219, 1945, stating in a reviewing of a lower court's ruling concerning an injunction under the All Writs Act that it is necessary to ascertain, quote, what is the usage and what are the principles of equity applicable in this case, without mentioning the traditional four injunction requirements. Can you hold one? Can you hold? Okay, sure.
All right, thank you, sir.
Well, I had some more.
Got some more?
I do. Not much, but
You already had 100+ pages of it. I'm going to give you one more minute to conclude your argument.
Okay, and that's about what I've got.
All right.
If your honor is going to deny me now, I can submit supplementary legal memo within the page limit in 2 hours, showing this court has the ability to act now, even against the Florida court, and clearly can act against Ted Bernstein and the estate, and Alan Rose, and parties already in this case.
There's no basis to have additional briefing after several over 100 pages, so the oral request for additional filing is going to be denied. Do you have any other additional argument? You got one more minute if you want it.
Okay, I need to do this to protect my children and protect and preserve all the records. But you need to issue the injunction, and to protect and preserve records that are, you know, never been produced. We don't have one original document to inspect, and I can't see how anybody's making decisions in any court without original documents and people being brought up to show cause and explain what's going on, why these are things are missing. And by the way, Your Honor, they came to your court and they filed without me as a party. And I was sued into this case by an insurance company notifying me that people were trying to move an estate asset, part of the gross estate at least, out of the probatable courts without my knowledge, behind my back, after trying and failing to make a false claim to an insurance company. And they would have stolen off with this asset. And as I showed in my pleading, they're stealing off with the real estate asset through companies that don't even exist. So I really need your protection. And otherwise, you know, today could end me in jail. They're trying to put me in jail. They're trying to gag me and remove filings. They've removed standing from a beneficiary simply because I didn't know what statute a beneficiary has standing under a trust case where he's a named beneficiary. I mean, seriously. So anyways, that's my plea, and thank you very much.
All right, thank you. You need to respond to that?
Yes, Your Honor. The one thing that stands out to me is about 12 minutes in before he used the phrase relevant to this case, and that's the point. All of his machinations that he just came up have to do with people and issues and judges in Florida regarding the Florida probate matter. All of his arguments regarding what lacks or the standard of proof according to Elliot Bernstein of a trust, which thankfully I don't have to satisfy because there is actually the law, those have been briefed in the summary judgment papers, which are currently pending and awaiting a decision. So there is no emergency. The status quo in Florida is that he has no standing. He's violated your local rules and your prior orders, and I ask the motion be denied or stricken.
Anything else, counsel? Just briefly, Your Honor, we agree with counsel regarding the standing issue. However, just to very briefly on the merits, Mr. Bernstein has admitted that has cited the Strickland case for the proposition that the estate does not have a representative. We believe that the estate of Simon Bernstein is represented in the Florida probate case, and we are here on behalf of the estate of Simon Bernstein in the interpleader case.
But they don't have it.
Point of not sharing documents, Mr. Bernstein has been provided all of the documents that the estate has in this action here in the Northern District and that Mr. Simon has here in the Northern District. As far as assets, the one asset over which we have issue this court, which is an insurance policy, that asset is not hidden, the proceeds of which are on deposit with the registry of the court. We would ask that the motion be denied.
All right. Under the circumstances of this case, there's no basis in law and fact to provide the relief sought in the emergency motion. The emergency motion is going to be denied. The motion to strike will also be denied. The status date of March 15th stands. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hello.
He just denied you.